Coastal Cafe. My name is Aaron Barnett. You're listening to KPTZ 91.9 FM in Port Townsend. Coastal Cafe is a joint production of Washington Sea Grant at the College of the Environment, University of Washington, and KPTZ 91.9. Coastal Cafe explores the latest in marine science with researchers, policy experts, and people who live and work along our coast. Today, our guest is Rob Sendak. Rob Sendak is manager of Washington State Park's boating program and also our boating law administrator. Welcome, Rob.
Thank you.
So we're going to be talking to Rob a little bit about his background, what brought him to the boating program, what the boating program does, and what Rob would like to see it be doing in the future. Rob comes to the program with a very varied background. Before this, he was the Director of External Affairs at Washington Wildlife and Recreation Coalition. Before that, he was the Executive Director of Washington Water Trail Association, which is a kayak access advocacy group for camping sites in the Puget Sound area. And he has a history with REI, and he also has a history with Major League Baseball, which we'll get to in a little bit. Rob got his undergraduate degree at DePaul University in Indiana, apparently a very small school, and a Master of Public Affairs at the Evans School of Public Policy and Governments in 2014. Welcome, Rob.
Aaron, it's a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for having us on. We really appreciate it.
So you're welcome. So why don't you give me a little more detail on your background? What did you do at the Washington Wildlife and Recreation Coalition?
So for the last couple of years, I really traveled around the state and advocated for large-scale outdoor recreation, wildlife habitat, and working lands projects. The WWRP, the Washington Wildlife and Recreation Program, is a grant program, the state's largest grant program that funds those types of projects. Mm-hmm. And as the External Affairs Director, I got to meet with elected officials, with county commissioners, with directors of parks, and really advocated for this program. And all the taxpayers out there are the folks that that pay into this program because it's a line item in the governor's budget every 2 years. So it's really the best tool that I knew of to get more people outside into the outdoors. Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a really good jumping off place into your current role as the boating law administrator managing the boating program. You want to talk about that a little bit?
One of the areas in this grant, there's large water access projects. So I became familiar with projects down on the Columbia River, here in the Puget Sound and Salish Sea. And so different places, Lake Wenatchee, Lake Chelan, Spokane River, places really all over the state. And so my breadth of understanding of what it takes to put large water access projects together really came into focus in that role and in the role previous to that at the Washington Water Trails Association, where I was really advocating for public access on a little bit of a different scale with that nonprofit. The Cascadia Marine Trail is the gem, really, of the WWTA, and that's close to 70 water sites up and down the Salish Sea. We like to call it from Olympia to Canada. Where it's, you know, it's kayak, it's human-powered wreck, human-powered paddling access only campsites. And we would do stewardship projects. We would advocate down in Olympia, and we would get people excited about getting folks outside paddling into the outdoors.
I understand you're a kayaker yourself.
I am a kayaker. I didn't start kayaking until I got to Washington State about 10 years ago. I learned how to paddle at a place I worked at in northern Minnesota, Camp Chippewa for Boys. I was there for 8 full summers and ended up as the assistant director. But that's where I learned to paddle back in the mid-90s on the rivers and the big lakes of northern Minnesota and up into Canada.
So I understand that paddle sports has become a priority for the boating program. So in addition to the other programs that I'm hoping you can go into more detail that make up the boating program, we can talk about some of the things you want to touch on as far as paddle sports. So could you tell us exactly what the boating program is?
Yeah, sure. The boating program consists, actually there's 12 of us on the team in State Parks headquarters, and it's a funded a couple of different ways, federally funded. The Coast Guard funds a very large portion of the program, and then the United States Fish and Wildlife Service funds another portion of the program, and then there's some minor funding that comes from the state from the vessel registration fee that comes in. But really, people have been asking me this. I've been on the job now almost 5 months, and people have been asking me, Rob, boating law administrator, what does that mean? And I tell them, I'm like, listen, we want to keep our waterways safe. We want to keep our waterways clean, and we want to have fun doing it. And so that's my one line pitch for the program.
So I understand that every state that receives funds through the Coast Guard for recreational boating has a boating law administrator. So how is this state's program aligned with other states?
Lack of alignment might be a better word. You know, there's really, each state is so different because of the natural features that it has. Washington is so lucky and so unique, and the folks that live here are so lucky because of our water access and the water that we've got, whether that be fresh water or salt water. There is a boating law administrator in each state. And what that person, and that's me for Washington, and what that person is responsible for really is the safety and upkeep of all the boating laws that we have. When you look at the list of RCWs that relate to recreational boaters in the state, that's what we're responsible for one of the things we're responsible for stewarding.
So what does that look like out you know, on the ground?
Well,
through your program.
Yeah, through our program, recreational boating education and safety is a huge piece of this. And when I say that, I say it's my goal to get a PFD onto every single person out into the water. That's what this looks like. This looks like our outreach team going into schools. This looks like us partnering with different nonprofit groups around the state. And we've got an outreach team of 2-3 folks that go to these events and really talk to people and inform them about the best practices to stay safe out in the water. And with, again, I'm going to probably harp on this 3 or 4 or 18 times when I'm sitting here, wearing a PFD is the absolute best thing you can do when you're out in the water to stay safe.
That's right. No, I know that in this this state, the water's a little colder than usual compared to other parts of the country. So a lot of the deaths here are attributed to hypothermia. And is that something that you guys touch on in your education program?
In our education program, we definitely provide information around how to stay warm. You know, there's a lot of different things that you can do for that. But, you know, really making good decisions before you even get out into the water, having the appropriate gear, being with people that understand and have, whether you're paddling or whether you're in a personal watercraft or some other type of recreational motorboat, you know, being with folks that have been there before and know what they're doing is another great way to stay safe out there. But yes, hypothermia, it's something that folks maybe in the Midwest aren't used to as much, or down in some of our the boating law administrators in Texas and in Louisiana, they aren't used to this temperature of water. And so it's a little bit of a different take. Actually, I'm getting on a plane tomorrow and we'll be in Lexington, Kentucky for 3 days with all of the other boating law administrators. There's education courses that we go through. We share best practices. And there's actually a paddling sports committee, National Paddling Sports Committee through NASBLA that I now will be working with moving into the future.
So now these are also other states that have boater cards. Now, you guys manage the boater education card in this state. Could you comment or give some detail on that?
Yeah, sure. So the boating education, mandatory boating education, became law in 2005. And shortly thereafter, folks, you go online or there's classroom work and you take a test. And I think it's 70 questions and or 75 questions. And you pass and you get a little boating card. And to date, we have almost 350,000 boating cards that we've distributed in the 13 years ish that the program has been going. Last year, we administered a little over 28,000 boating cards. And we expect that number to stay pretty steady between 25 and 28,000. If you think about the population increase in the state of Washington, what that's going to look like in the next 20 years, the increase of popularity of boating, outdoor recreation, paddle sports in particular. And so we're looking to keep that mandatory boating card probably around 28,000 annually.
Do you think the boating car and the emphasis on boater safety has had anything to do with the drop in fatalities and accidents and injuries over the last 20 years that has statistically been proven, or not proved, but has been shown up in the Coast Guard statistical reports?
So one of the areas that we are very proud of in the boating program is our accident data reporting. And if you look at a whole bunch of data going back, if you look at where the mandatory boater card started and where we are today, fatalities have dropped. And we relate that directly to mandatory boater card education in the state. Mm. If you look at the numbers, the fatalities that we had, for instance, in 2018, there were 21 fatalities in the state in recreational boating. There was 16 that did not have their mandatory boating card. So that's a big kind of little bullet point that we like to focus on.
Very, very, very interesting. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Coastal Cafe. My name is Aaron Barnett. Coastal Cafe is here on 91.9 FM Port Townsend. I'm talking to Rob Sendak, Washington State's Boating Law Administrator and Manager of the State Boating Program. Is there any other statistics you'd like to share with us other than the ones you just mentioned?
Yeah, sure. I mentioned 21 fatalities in 2018. Another stat that pops right up at me is there were also 16 of those folks who lost their lives did not have on PFDs. And that is going to be something that I am going to put some heavy emphasis and focus on in the boating program moving forward.
Do you have any specific ideas on how you'd like to approach that?
I'm going to be doubling and tripling down on a program that we have. It's our Life Jacket Loaner program. And we have 85 different partners around the state, local jurisdictions, marinas, private entities, and they've got a little life jacket loaner station at their water access point of entry, and we give them PFDs so people can use those. And so one of the things that we do each fall is that we reach out to all of those folks and try to get more people, more entities involved, and really we give them PFDs to their program. We supply them with life vests that people can use when they get there. And so right now, I think we're looking at over 500 PFDs that we're going to be delivering in 2019 to different places around the state. And I would love to double or triple that number.
So I imagine that'll be a mix of adult and youth PFDs.
Absolutely.
Now, in this state, I believe there's a minimum age for youth to have a life jacket. Is it 12? Is that?
I believe it is 12, yes.
Is that a state regulation or a national?
It's a great question, Aaron.
I don't know. Well, it's 12. It doesn't matter where it's from. The law is that if you're 12 years or younger, you have to wear a life jacket whether you like it or not. Let's just leave it at that.
Sounds good.
So, can you talk about some more of the boating program's priorities that you think are worth mentioning?
Absolutely. One of the programs within boating at state parks is our Clean Vessel program. And basically what this program is we remove sewage for recreational boaters around the state. Last year in 2018, we removed over 10 million gallons of sewage. And back in the mid-90s, Governor Gary Locke decided that state parks was going to administer this program. United States Fish and Wildlife is our federal grant partner that funds this program. And we helped fund 145 different pump outs around the state, freshwater and saltwater. And so we've got a new program manager, Catherine Buchalski-Smith.
I've met her.
You have met her. And so real excited to work with her. She's bringing her energy and a fresh new look into that program. And we're looking to expand this program. We're looking to expand it up into the San Juan Islands. We really up into the Upper Columbia. We're looking at some places, Lake Chelan. We want to continue doing some work. And we really, again, I lean back on my background in outdoor education and outdoor recreation, and under the understanding of how many people are going to be here and what they like to do out on the water. And we believe that there's opportunities in that program to really lean in and deliver on more pump outs.
I was talking to the CVA program manager, Catherine, and she said that in 2018, the 10.8 million gallons that you mentioned is equal to filling up Century Field 23 feet high, like, or up to the 23rd row or something like that. That's a lot of sewage.
That is a lot of sewage. Absolutely. And yeah, it's pretty daunting when you think about it like that. That's a new one. I haven't heard that yet. I don't remember how many Olympic sized swimming pools, but it was a very large number is another stat that we talk about and sometimes joke about back in the office.
So do you think the boating public is fairly receptive to using pump outs?
I think so. My sense tells me that it is, because I think actually it's a tangible thing that you can see and report on and say, oh my gosh, you know, you look at what this program is doing. It's removing waste. It's keeping our waterways clean. And I think that's a tangible thing. And now more than ever, that's something I think we need to really focus on and really lean into.
So if somebody wanted to find a pump out, could they go to the Washington State Parks website?
They could, absolutely, and find where those pump outs are. One of the goals is of the program is to have pump outs so they're close enough so folks don't have to motor across miles and miles and miles. So we're really trying to make sure they're strategically located around the state in heavy populated areas, big marinas that folks can have access to them.
Oh, so I wanted to ask you something about your past. I want to know how this fits into your role at the boating program. You mentioned you had a career in Major League Baseball. Could you talk about that for a minute?
Yeah, sure. I was very lucky. Right out of college, I moved to California and to San Francisco, and I was looking for a job, and I was reading an article, and I knew the person who wrote the article, and that person ended up being the director of sales for the San Francisco Giants. And you know, I grew up in Northwest Indiana, and being in the big city, California, San Francisco, eyes wide open. And I gave him a call, and automatically, it was really interesting. Within about 48 hours, I was hired by the Giants, and I was on the sales and marketing team that built and sold out what was then Pac Bell Park in San Francisco, selling luxury boxes and charter seats. And so we would put hard hats on. I was in a suit and tie. We would put hard hats on and walk out to home plate and look around. And I was with CEOs, and I really didn't have to do much talking. All I really had to do was get them out there and ask them about what it was like to hit their first home run in Babe Ruth baseball when they were 14, and the place pretty much sold itself.
So we all sort of go through life down pursuing different paths. So how would you describe how you ended up at the boating program?
So, I think there's a couple specific things. I think, one is my family. I've got a 3-year-old daughter and baby girl number 2 on the way in April. And I think, this was a strategic, role because again, I think it's tangible. I think I see where I can, hopefully my staff and I are going to be able to go in and make things safer and make things cleaner, for people that want to get outside and recreate. You mentioned earlier that I'm a kayaker. Well, I want my daughter 50 years from now to be able to paddle the Cascadia Marine Trail, in clean water. And I see this role as a way to help ensure that that happens for future generations.
Sounds like you have a pretty committed group down there as well that are working, that make up your team.
The staff is everything. They are fantastic. Yesterday, actually, we came out with our 2018 accident report data summary. And, you know, these are things, you know, I've been on the job just under 5 months. And these are things that just happen automatically, interestingly enough. And it's amazing to see them work. It's amazing to the depth of knowledge that folks have in the boating program. People have been working in this program for 10, 15, 20 years, and you wouldn't even know it.
Now, I understand one of your staff works with the local sheriffs and on enforcement issues and works on DUI enforcement and other elements of boating safety.
Yeah, that's right. And so another big part of our program is is grant administration. We're a pass-through entity for marine law enforcement agencies all over the state. We partner with 53 different marine law enforcement agencies. We provide them with training, education, curriculum, but also resources, depending on what their needs are, on an annual basis. And so huge partners of ours. If you ever go to one of our booths, our outreach booths at one of the events that we go to, we normally partner with a local sheriff to come out and they'll be at the booth with us.
You guys also partner with the Coast Guard, Power Squadron, I believe.
We do. Yes. Auxiliary. There's all different types of partners. The Coast Guard is a huge partner of ours, and really where we take our lead in terms of boating safety and regulations. As I mentioned earlier, they're our biggest funder for that piece. And, you know, that's really where we take our lead in regards to how the things that we do to help keep people safe.
So I've been here with Rob Sendak, who's Washington State's Boating Law Administrator and manager of the State Boating Program, which oversees education, outreach on boating safety, boating law enforcement, and the Clean Vessel Act. So I'd like to thank you, Rob, for coming all the way from Olympia or home or wherever it was you came from. And if there's anything else you'd like to say, here's your chance.
Well, Aaron, I just want to say thank you for this opportunity to help highlight the boating program. And as we march towards this sunshine today and summer, and there's going to be more people out on the water, please be safe out there. Wear your PFD. And if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to reach out to the boating program at State Parks.
Thank you. And you've been listening to Coastal Cafe at 91.9 FM Port Townsend. Coastal Cafe is a joint production of the University of Washington Sea Grant Program with Ecology Environment, the University of Washington. I'd like to thank our producer, Jared Dufresne, station program director, Larry Stein. And I'd like to give a shout out to the people that supply the music for this show, which is a band called Kooeek, which is a Native American funk band. Thank you very much. Hingen ani, hatu asibu, haa.